Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. This week I'm interviewing a campground owner from Mobile, Alabama, who is looking for work campers to serve at what he describes as the most technologically advanced RV community in the world. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News. With its diamond and platinum membership tools, Work Camper News is much more than a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original source for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with a community of work campers, and view resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. Ed Bridgman is the owner and developer of the Homestead RV Community, which is about 20 miles south of Mobile, Alabama, and less than 2 miles from the Gulf of Mexico. Using a high-speed fiber optic network, the RV park offers the fastest internet service available and monitors water and electricity consumption at every site from a remote location. The system automatically reads the meters and calculates the rates without any human intervention. Even the laundry machines are controlled by an app. If people want to buy firewood or anything from the store, it's all done online and work campers deliver it to the customer's campsite a few minutes later. All communications are performed virtually, including making reservations, payments, checking in, and checking out. However, work campers still need to provide personal attention by escorting guests to their sites, helping them to connect to services, and even hosting camp-wide events like movie nights, tournaments, and special meals. They also perform landscaping duties and strike up conversations with guests who are looking for recommendations on things to do. Ed needs a couple to work about 25 hours per week, and no special skills are required. In exchange, they get a 40 by 82 foot RV site with a 20 by 70 foot concrete pad, full connections, and super fast internet service. This is the first year the RV community has utilized work campers at the 59 site park. Ed is looking for people he does not have to micromanage. Rather, he likes to work with people who can see something that needs to be done and just jump right in and do it. He also likes to employ people who have a good sense of humor. To describe the opportunity in more detail, please welcome Ed Bridgman, the developer of Homestead RV Community, to the show. Thank you for joining me today, Ed. I really appreciate the time. Tell us a little bit about Homestead RV Community and how old it is.
Homestead RV Community is of my own design. I design and develop RV destinations and boat and RV storage facilities for other people. But Homestead RV Community is my own creation for myself. And we earned our certificate of occupancy the second week of February in 2021. So we're brand new.
Brand new. And by saying that you developed this after you helped other people develop their own communities, this has got to be like the ideal community then, right? Because you go in there and you see what's working at other places and what isn't. And you incorporated all of the good stuff into Homestead.
Exactly. Homestead RV Community is the most technologically advanced RV destination in the world. We have fiber optic cable throughout, which provides us the fastest internet access possible and will continue to be the fastest internet possible as new technology emerges over the next 10 to 15 years because we have fiber optics run throughout our entire community. I am able to monitor both the electric use and the water use at every site and at every building continuously. And my software is remotely able to read those meters and do the math and identify the proper charges for the people without any human interaction.
Wow. Well, as far as fast internet is concerned, I am sure the RVers are going to jump all over that.
So far, the people that are here, because people need to be able to work where they live and they need to be able to live where they choose to vacation, high-speed internet is no longer something that you charge for or as an additional amenity. It is a must for the modern-day RV owner.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. And when you provide this kind of service, especially when you're recommending it to other campgrounds that you're consulting with, what do you tell them to pick between cable or internet? I would imagine it would be internet.
Absolutely. Cable TV is, I would not bother. I would never recommend to someone who is developing an RV destination to provide cable TV. You have to pay for each channel, and the local channels can be picked up by antenna. But these channels that you're paying for, no matter what package you purchase, you'll never have the channel that someone really wants. And if you provide fastest internet, they can get access to any channels. They bring that with them. So no one's complaining if you have high-speed internet.
Mm-hmm. I'm old enough to remember when cable first came out and how excited people were because they had, dozens of commercial free channels that were available. And now you have 400, 500 channels that are piped into your home and there's still nothing to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what type of jobs do the work campers typically perform at your RV resort destination?
Everything at Homestead RV Community can be done virtually. We do not take any money whatsoever. If you want to wash your clothes, you go and there's a QR code on the washer, another one on the dryer. You take a picture of it with your phone, you download money from the credit card onto the app, and you say, I want cold water and I want it to run like this and run like that. You push a button on your phone and the washer starts working. So we don't collect any cash whatsoever. We don't collect any checks whatsoever. We don't make any trips to the bank whatsoever. Everything is done remote. The reservations are all done remotely, either by the guests themselves. They can do it remotely, or they can call in and a camp worker will answer the business phone. And the camp worker will make the reservation remotely. If they want to purchase firewood, if they want to purchase anything that we sell in the store, our store is not a place where people walk up and down aisles and try on shirts and put their dirty head in a hat. Everything is done remotely. They go to the app and they say, I want to buy firewood, or I want to buy a fishing pole, or I want to buy lures, or a solo stove or an outdoor furniture or whatever. And they pick it all out. They pay for it through the credit card. And the camp worker who is carrying the business phone at the time receives a message that says site number 24 just purchased this, this chair or this table. And they go over to the warehouse, they open up the warehouse and bring it to them just like Amazon, only in 10 or 15 minutes after it's purchased. So with everything being done remotely, one of my biggest fears is that although many guests appreciate this ability to work in a sterile environment, there's a large number of people who miss that personal interaction. So my camp workers at Homestead RV Community need to be able to be aware of the guest who would like someone to stop in and check on them and have a conversation with them, but also be aware of the people who maybe due to COVID-19 want to remain socially distant. We provide the best of both worlds.
Okay, so when the work campers are actually out there doing some of the work for the campground, are they involved in cleaning the sites? Is that it? Are they picking up the trash? What are they actually employed to do?
Our smallest site is 40 foot wide and 82 foot long. That's our smallest sites. They go up from there. Each and every site has a concrete pad that is flat, and the smallest concrete pad is 20 foot wide and 70 foot long. So there's not a lot to pick up around campsites. The bathrooms were specifically designed. They're made out of cinder blocks, and the interior walls have corrugated steel on them that has been caulked to the point where it's waterproof. We literally can go into the bathrooms with a garden hose and rinse down the bathroom. Everything drains into the center floor drain. We do not have hand towels that need to be replaced or can clog up a drain. We have electric hand dryers. If I could do away with toilet paper, I would. But everything is easy to clean, easy to maintain, concrete everywhere. We don't have any inside corners where a concrete slab from the site comes and meets the road. That could be an inside corner. But instead, we curved those, a real big curve. It's real easy for people to drive the lawnmowers, the riding lawnmowers, zero turn lawnmowers that we have, but we don't have hardly any weed eating that needs to be done. Very, very, very little. So what the camp workers are doing, and they're providing that personal touch to the people who want it. We offer escorts to each site for a new guest. We offer to help them set up their sites if they want, and most do. But if they don't, then it's right over there. It's well marked. Go for it. So they don't have to do that. We pick up the trash each morning. The guest sets the trash out at the end of their site each morning between 8:30 and 9. And we have golf carts that have pickup type beds on the back. And we go around and we pick up the trash each morning. And then we go through and make sure that the bathrooms are all rinsed down at least once a day. And we have the largest dog park in the state of Alabama. And most people do pick up after their dogs, but we remind them that they need to pick up after their dogs. And a lot of what the camp worker does is just customer relations. We have a potluck about every other weekend. We have a s'mores night about every other weekend. We have a 9-foot by 12-foot TV screen in the pavilion. And so we have movie nights about every other weekend, cornhole tournament. And the camp workers are in charge of putting on those events.
How many sites do you have at the park?
Phase one, we have 59 sites. My mother lives on site and I live on site. And then I would like to employ 3 camp working couples. I currently have 2 camp working couples, and I would like to employ a third. So that would be 5 sites dedicated to those people. So I have 54 sites that could be rented. We are hoping to get to 85% capacity, would be around 40 sites probably that eventually we'd like to maintain for phase one. But as I mentioned, I design and develop RV destinations for other people. And oftentimes they ask me to be the project manager and take an ownership, a small amount of equity in exchange for my compensation. And so I become part owners of other sites, other locations. And the camp worker that works for me at Homestead RV Community will probably be a manager at one of my other destinations.
Okay. So they come to work to you for a little while and learn the routine, and then you can send them off to a different campground or wherever else you might have a location.
Exactly. And I've had wonderful luck with people who had very little experience. Yeah, Homestead RV Community, they really need to take the time to look it up on the internet. It's homervc.com. We really are unique. We do not have a public pool We don't have a public office. We don't have a public store. You don't have to maintain the pool. We do have individual, both hot and cold, jetted hot tubs, jacuzzis. And for an upcharge, people can have a jacuzzi brought to their location. It's sanitized for their protection. And we fill it up with either hot or cold water. I have a custom-made trailer that has an instant hot water heater on it. And so the guests can have the experience of having a jacuzzi, but it has a lid on it, and they get to control who gets in their water. So we're unique. We offer things that other places don't offer. And we've got like 47 reviews on Google right now, and they're all 5-star. We have never scored less than 5-star. So people are really enjoying what we're doing, but we're not your mom and pop old fashioned RV park. We're not an RV park.
Okay. But this is not seasonal. It's year round employment opportunity because of your location down there in Alabama. So you need people to start like right now.
I would love to hire a third party right now. One of the things that I ask is that they have a fun attitude, that they enjoy people, that they're, engaging for those people who want to be engaged with. There is a small segment of the community who are young, Generation Z and young millennials who are taking advantage of the fact that we have the fastest internet possible, and they're working from their RV, and they may be sitting outside on their laptop, but they're not open to conversation. While the majority of people are, if they're sitting outside, they're probably open to conversation and people just being normally friendly, courteous with them. And so my camp workers need to be able to tell the difference and read the situation and act accordingly.
But there's no end date for this position, right? So it's they can stay as long as they want to, pretty much, if they like it down there.
Absolutely. I have guests who have already committed to a 3-year commitment. They locked in their rate for 3 years. I have many, many guests that have already signed up for 6 months to a year. You don't have to pay tourist tax if you commit to being here longer than 6 months. So I have many guests already who have committed to being here longer than 6 months. We are certainly year round, and I'm looking for long-term people to join our family. It's more of a family. We laugh a lot. We're constantly laughing. I refuse to micromanage. I like people who can see what needs to be done and just do it. And, I'll tell them thank you later. That's the type of people that I am attracted to. They can send me an email to my personal email address is my initials, eob@eob.name, or they can call me at 512-785-1379. And I send out a questionnaire that just asks them about their background or whatever like that. But even if they don't have a lot of RV type experience, that doesn't mean that they're not ideal people. If they're fun, they have a good attitude, they can see what needs to be done, they don't walk past a piece of trash on the ground without picking it up. That's kind of a pet peeve of mine. People who can walk past a piece of trash without picking it up, they wouldn't be a good fit.
Very good. But how many hours a week do you expect the work campers to be putting in?
25 hours a week in exchange for their RV site. We provide 25 kilowatt hours a day of electricity. Very, 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 very few people ever exceed that. We're, like I said, we're monitoring both the water and electric, and that is in anticipation for the RVs that are coming down in the road. that are going to be all electric here in a couple of years, and they're going to be pulling a lot of electricity. But the average person doesn't use 25 kilowatt hours a day, and they don't use 25 gallons of water every day. Nobody's come close to even exceeding that. So we provide the site and the 25 kilowatt hours a day and the 25 gallons per day and the high speed internet, of course. And but what some people are choosing to do, and it's fine with me, like I said, I'm not a micromanager. What some people are choosing to do is to work like 50 hours in 1 week. So maybe, what's that, 7 times 7, 7 hours a day for 7 days, and then taking the next week off. So that's what, I have two camp workers here now, and that's what they're doing. One's on for a week and one's off for a week. And that's working out fine with me. But we're anticipating our occupancy rate to go up exponentially over the next couple of months. So I would like to get a third couple on board. It doesn't have to be a couple, a person, a third party on board. I don't care if it's two men, two ladies, one man, one lady. I don't care. But somebody to be like a backup.
Okay. Now, I looked on the map, and you guys are in a rather unique area. I mean, you're very close to the Gulf of Mexico and not too far from Mobile Bay. What kinds of things, what are there to do? What can people do in their off hours in that area?
Well, we're very close to Dolphin Island, and Dolphin Island is one of the best-kept secrets in along the Gulf. It has the pristine white beaches, just like in Florida. Only we don't have the traffic that they have in Orange Beach on the east side of the bay. We're on the west side of the bay, and so we have the same beautiful white beaches and absolutely gorgeous, but we don't have the traffic yet. We do have the world's largest fishing rodeo in June. It takes up most of June, so I would like to have somebody in place before that. But Mardi Gras started in Mobile. I know New Orleans likes to say it started there, but it really started in Mobile. We have a lot of Mardi Gras activities starting in February, the end of January, February, March. It was all about Mardi Gras. Fishing is awesome. Homestead RV Community is actually less than 2 miles from the bay. We're really close to where you can put your boat in the water. If someone is a fisherman, we're all about that. We have over 3,200 different species of birds. So bird watching is becoming huge. And we're 0.7 miles from the newest national park that isn't even open yet. The federal government used BP oil money. There was an oil spill out in the Gulf about 10 years ago. You might have heard about it. It was in all the papers. But BP was fined $24 billion, and the federal government used that money to purchase a large tract of land between Homestead and the bay, and they're currently developing a new national park that'll have 40 miles of hike and bike trails and canoe and kayak. They're not trails, they're trenches, I guess, through the water, and fishing and a bunch of ecological centers and stuff like that over there in that park that'll be open in the next couple of years. So Mobile has awesome food, entertainment, the friendliest people I've ever met, and it's just a great place to be. The weather is perfect. The weather today is 80 and the low is like 60. You know, it's just perfect.
And how far is the park from Mobile?
The new park, from downtown Mobile, Homestead RV Community is less than 10 miles, between 8 and 10 miles. And this new national park is 0.7 miles from Homestead RV Community straight east between me and the bay. So it's the same distance from downtown Mobile.
Okay, very good. And what kind of compensation do you provide to work campers?
Besides the site and their electricity and their water, yes. I have plenty of people that are wanting to work here that I don't have to actually provide them financial compensation.
Okay. So it is just just the site, the electricity, water, and internet connection, which is okay, very good. And what's one thing that you wish all the work campers knew before they came to work for you?
That's a good question. What's one thing that we're not a typical campground. Yes, I appreciate and respect the fact that people have worked in other campgrounds and they've worked with other reservation software programs, but this is a brand new reservation software program that works with the electricity and water monitoring system. It does all that calculations for you automatically. This is a very automated system. Even though, you know, some campgrounds I understand are still using paper and I don't know, calendars or something to make reservations on. This is all software. It's all, but don't be afraid of it. I have had some camp workers in here that were in their 80s and they picked it right up. They didn't have any trouble picking it up. That's really should be the least of their worries. I'm more about people who can see what needs to be done and can do it in a healthy, fun attitude.
Very good. And so to get more information about this, people should visit your website at homervc.com, and then there are directions to contact you on there if they're interested in working for you.
Absolutely. They can go to homervc.com and they can call the business number and they'll talk to a camp worker. A camp worker will answer the phone and they can ask them, you know, how's Ed to work for? Is he somebody you enjoy working for? Something like that. Or they can go to my consulting website, eob.name. It's my initials, Echo Oscar Bravo dot Nancy Alpha Mary Echo. And they can see what I do as a consultant, and then they can get my direct telephone number if they would like to do that.
You had mentioned to me before we started the interview that you don't think that business owners or RV park owners can really afford to engage in business as usual anymore. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's an old saying that if you continue to do the same thing you've always done, but you expect different results, that's the definition of insanity. Well, I've taken a slightly different spin on that. There's a lot of the average RV destination is 50 years old. The average American RV destination is 50 years old. And there's a lot of people that have inherited these working businesses, and they've done really well, and maybe they're doing really well right now while the supply and demand is so lopsided. But if you continue to do the same thing you've always done and you're expecting the same result, that's where I changed it. If you're expecting the same result by doing the same thing you've always done, but now you're in a different environment, then that's another definition of insanity. Your typical RV owner today is not the same as they were 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
I'd agree with 10 that.
Years ago, cable was just great. You know, if you could provide cable TV, that was awesome. Now, nobody wants cable TV, okay? You have to provide high-speed internet. The millennials make up 37% of the RV. The new RV owners are made up of millennials. There is a huge influx of first-time RVers out there. We have people pull in, and they don't know how to disconnect their RV from their pickup. It's like, how did you get this thing connected? You know, and, well, they connected it at, you know, where I bought it. And, you know, we haven't had it disconnected. We bought it a week ago, and we can't go anywhere with our pickup because we don't know how to disconnect it. So the RV owner today has different needs, different requirements, and is expecting a different level of service than what they did even 10 years ago. So if you want to continue providing the same level of service that you did 10 years ago, and you want to think that you're going to get the same level of satisfaction from your guest, but these are different guests. This is a different environment. And so that's just not going to work. I talk to people and they say, we're going to stop allowing fifth wheels because our roads are too narrow, our sites are too small, and we don't like fifth wheels. And I just shake my head. I just walk away from those conversations feeling sorry for those people, okay? Because there is a huge segment of the RV population that are fifth wheels, okay? So you're going to turn your back on every one of those people? I don't think that's the right thing to do. So, there's a lot of people who are saying, Ed, why don't you come over and help me redesign my store? Why do you have a store? Okay. Why are you redesigning a dinosaur? Okay. Mm-hmm. It should all be vertical. Okay. You can take up a lot less real estate if you're using it like a warehouse. And how do you stay COVID free when you're letting people walk around and try on and touch every hat that's in there? You know, we have people saying, how do we maintain our pools? Well, right now in Alabama, the law states that you can only have one family in a public pool at a time. Now, nobody's adhering to that law. Very few people are. How do you keep your six-year-old out of the pool when his best friend is in the pool, mm-hmm. and you try to explain to him, well, that's that family, and they're going to get out here at the end of the hour, and then we're going to get in. And then who are we kidding? Why do you think that water is magically cleaned in the 2 minutes that it took that family to get out and the next family to come in? So we don't have pools. We don't offer pools. I design and develop RV destinations that allow my camp worker the ability to say yes. If my guests are asking for it, that means they need it. Okay. If they're driving fifth wheels, we need to be able to accommodate fifth wheels. If they need water, we need to have jacuzzis, individual personalized jacuzzis. If they need something, my camp workers are usually able to say, yes, we can do that. Yes, we provide that. Yes. And I want my camp workers to be able to say yes a lot. I want to be able to satisfy the guest.
Well, it sounds like this is a wonderful opportunity for somebody who wants to learn how to manage a modern park and then go to work for you at a different park, somewhere that you're involved in. And so I'd encourage people to check out the websites, and we'll put those in the show notes too, so people can find them and then reach out to you and set up an interview and get the ball rolling. But the job is available right now, correct?
Exactly. Yes.
Super. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Ed. I really appreciate the time. It was fun to hear about the kinds of things you're doing in this ultra-modern park, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed talking to Ed Bridgman about Homestead RV Community near Mobile, Alabama. Ed designs RV destinations around the country, so he's very familiar with what customers want and how campgrounds can provide that level of service. He expects that once work campers spend time at his park, they'll be able to go to work at other RV destinations that he has developed around the country. There are a lot of things for work campers to do near Homestead RV Community, like hiking, biking, canoeing, and kayaking. The largest fishing rodeo in the world takes place just a few miles away on Dauphin Island, and it attracts 3,000 anglers and more than 75,000 spectators in July. The Audubon Bird Sanctuary attracts hundreds of bird species along the 14-mile barrier island. The RV park is just an hour from Pensacola and the panhandle of that state. New Orleans is only about 2 hours away, and there's a variety of activity to do there, from Mardi Gras to the National World War II Museum. Ed said that the weather in that part of Alabama is near perfect every day. And because it's a year-round park, where campers can stay as long as they'd like. For more information or to apply, people can email Ed at eob@eob.name. He'll send them a standard questionnaire to complete. Then he'll go over the questionnaire with the work campers to determine if the opportunity is a win-win for everyone. For more information about Homestead RV Community, visit www.homervc.com. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by WorkCamper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear, because you were designed for more. Get started with the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For just $29.95 for 90 days of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50 plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, operating a small business on the road, plus all about work camping and how to find the right job for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long, giving in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started, so for more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. That's all I have for this week's show. Next time, I'll be talking to some folks about an opportunity to do legal transcription work from anywhere work campers want to travel. I'll have all the details on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.